thank you everyone for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Park. I can't talk today. It's a park curse. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, in which we recap an episode of the Golden Girls. Thank you for listening to us. If you listened to us before, thank you for listening to us again. If you haven't listened to us before, that's exactly what's going to happen. We're just going to recap an episode and go buck wild. I am sorry for saying buck wild. I apologize. I am Anthony
Dustamito. We'll think about forgiving you.
I'm Anthony Dustamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have an awesome guest. We've been waiting to have him for a while. The very magnificently funny, Steve Maxwell.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being a podcast.
Oh, wow. Aww. No one's ever said that. Steve, tell us your background, your history with Golden Girls. I know you have deep feelings about them.
Yes, I do. It came out in, what, 85?
85.
And so I would have been 21 at the time. And so naturally,
21.
What I did every was it Thursday night?
Saturday night.
Every Saturday night. Yeah. It's so long ago. It's so hard for me to remember. I would hunker down with my friends and my Coke dealer and some sluts and we'd watch the Golden Girls.
80
unironically.
Sluts.
Nice. Oh, well, I'm glad that you did that. So you watched it when it came out, but you watched previous shows that
I did not enjoy the Golden Girls when it came out. I was a fan of Maude. So I think each of the Golden Girls was better in something before.
Right.
Betty White and Mary Tyler Moore as Sue Ann Niven, and Bea Arthur and Rue McClanahan and Maude, mm-hmm. and then I don't know what the fuck Estelle Getty was in before that, but
right. And so I was
too old to enjoy it, I think.
Right. Just like now, like we don't like mm-hmm. spinoffs, kind of that kind of deal. It wasn't Golden Girls wasn't a spinoff, but like we liked what we liked, and we don't like we necessarily appreciated them for that role that
have
they
you
had.
Considered an Empty Nest spinoff podcast.
Of course not.
Someone has Wikipedia.
Somebody
That's
needs
right.
to do an Empty Nest podcast.
One day, Anthony and I are going to have a rift, and then I'm just going to like rebel and have an Empty Nest like podcast.
Right. At Disney World, they used to have the Golden Girls house next to the Empty Nest house, but through years, people cared less and less about Empty Nest, that they took away the Empty Nest house, and now it's just the Golden Girls house. Like, that's just a testament to how...
Next to just a vacant lot with tires in it?
No, I think it's next to, like... I remember they put something, like a ride next to it, or some sort of, like, Pirates of the Caribbean shit. Like, something...
They just burnt it to the ground.
the shambles are still, like, there, existing.
The mess has just been like whitewashed from history.
Yeah, see, I was not aware, but reading up on the Golden Girls, there was like wasn't there a sequel?
The Golden Palace.
Yeah,
which was when Blanche Rose and Sophia decide to open up a hotel with Don Cheadle as the cook, I believe, and then Tommy Chong, I believe.
Yeah.
As like the bellboy, and it only lasted one season. It was not
they
very
couldn't
good.
Get Bea Arthur.
Bea Arthur was done. She was the one that wanted to leave Golden Girls, and that's why it got canceled.
To do what?
To do nothing. Apparently, she did it.
A bunch of jokes at the Friars Club roast.
Right.
My career is taking a different direction. I want people to talk about how they won't fuck someone with my dick. Nice.
Okay, Steve, I looked this up. I was looking up Blanche Devereaux's lovers on Golden Girls Wiki, and one of her previous lovers was named...
You know what I'm really proud? That you're willing to make that revelation in a form where someone might hear it.
Anthony is all about research.
I do. I just like, who the fuck are these people that I'm watching? So Blanche has like 18, listed like 18 potential lovers on her Golden Girls Wiki. One of them is named Steve Maxwell.
No.
It is. Okay. I have the photograph here. It says Steve Maxwell, possible sexual partner.
Wow. Well, you know.
So
the 80s were a crazy time. You don't remember everything. No, but I would say of the four Golden Girls, probably Rue McClanahan. Probably I would hit that shit.
Oh, yeah. Hard.
Yeah, she was hotter in Maude, where she was married to a doctor, so there was like that, you know, the forbidden fruit element, you know. But yeah, of the four.
Well, how would you describe her character as different in Maude as it is in Golden Girls?
It seems pretty much the same, kind of ditzy, but without the cheesy accent.
Right. Okay. Well, she wasn't slutty. She had a doctor.
She was kind of slutty and goofy. Right. And okay. Her husband was Conrad Bain, who later went on, right, to raise two young black children.
Oh, wow.
And do a terrible job of it, apparently.
Who are the children?
From Different Strokes.
And Different Strokes. Oh, okay. All right. So there was a spinoff off of Maude. Or he just went off to do something.
No, that was not a spinoff.
He just went off to do something else.
Yeah, he was without a sitcom. There were only five sitcom actors at the time, and they just rotated through.
No, they were. Yeah, like Matlock. They just took the Andy Griffith, put him in Matlock. It just didn't matter anymore. So you did something, actually, that was no one's ever done. You brought, like, a script spec?
Oh, a script. I have my Golden Girl spec script that I wrote because you got to have a spec script if you want to make it in this business.
Yeah, you got to.
So, yeah. So, if you guys want to do a read through.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh,
okay.
Yay.
It's not all the way done yet.
Okay, you can put it here.
Here, I'll try and hold it so you guys can see. Can you guys see?
Yes, okay, I can see it.
I can't see it.
Closer. Right. Okay. How's that?
All right.
That's better. Okay.
Can everybody see it? Okay. We got to choose up characters. I get to be B. Arthur.
I'll be Blanche because that's what we decided that we were.
Can I be Sophia?
All right. And then we just need someone to double up as Rose. Which one of you does a better Betty White? Which one of you would like to fuck Alan Ludden?
I would like.
There.
So I'll be Rose also.
All right. Okay. So I'm Dorothy. Okay. So here we go. Interior.
Dun, 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 dun.
An apartment in Miami that these people can't afford. Daytime. Four old women sitting around. Here we go. Dorothy. I'm old.
I'm old and I love to fuck.
I'm Dorothy's mother, so I'm really old.
I remember when I was a girl back in St. Olaf, Minnesota. I'm so fucking old.
God'll get you for that, Rose. There, that's as far as I got.
End scene. This is gonna get made.
So Hollywood, if you're listening, and I know you are,
that was amazing! Yay, listeners! Please applaud Steve Maxwell for bringing a script. Okay, so let's get right into it. We watched an episode of The Golden Girls that was better than the most that we've seen from season one.
Really?
Yeah.
The crop.
Yeah. You are being spoiled, my friend. Like, really, you are. Okay, so the episode was episode 17 from season one. It's titled Nice and Easy. And after Genevieve gives us a synopsis, you will know why.
All right. Well, Blanche's niece is visiting because she's thinking about going to college in Miami. And she's got the hot pants, so to speak. And basically spends about 2 days down there and fucks half of Miami. And that makes Blanche proud and then uncomfortable. And then proud again. And then the other ladies find a mouse.
B plot land.
So yeah, that's the synopsis of this episode.
Yeah, okay. I really thought the mouse plot could have been more fully developed.
Right.
I thought the mouse was kind of one dimensional.
Right.
It didn't really change through the course of the episode.
The mouse was a catalyst. It was just a symbol for eating garbage.
Fleeting youth.
the new 80s. it's a symbol for a new time. That's what I got from it. The original air date for this episode was February 1, 1986, just almost 29 years ago in a week. And so, awesome. Also,
I'm sure you'll all be celebrating. Pick up the decorations at Target. The upcoming holiday is coming soon. This episode's original airing.
People are going to go fucking crazy for this episode anniversary. So the episode starts off with Sophia painting her nails. Well, she's getting ready. She's putting cotton swabs in her toes.
She's making her toenails.
It opens with a close up of some very geriatric female toes with cotton balls shoved in between them. It's disgusting.
It is like you want to turn this off as soon as it starts. It is pretty gross. And Dorothy comes in and she's like, no, Blanche comes in. Yeah, and she's like, Lucy's coming. You can't be fucking painting your nails right now. That's gross. Which I don't think it's that gross. Like,
it is kind of gross. It's
gross.
Also, that's something you do in your room.
But
this is a time where the target demographic of sitcoms was 60-year-old women, apparently. They hadn't quite hit on that 19 to 24 demographic yet. Right. So they're like, you know what? Let's pander. Let's do some ancient, wrinkly foot porn.
Right. Some for disgusting the geezer foot porn.
Because it's 85. All the young people are out doing coke and screwing and making bad investments.
Right. And then everybody's fucking up in the 80s. Sophia's like, I'm painting my toe, the numbers of my toes, because I keep forgetting their names. I'm like, why don't you just paint their names? That makes no sense.
That's a really good point.
Are you going to have a list with the names and then the numbers next to them so she can keep track? Like, I don't understand that logic. So Sophia is insane right off the bat.
That's all she's saying. She might as well just say, I've got dementia. My brain is dying.
Well, you know what? As you guys work your way through the subsequent episodes, perhaps the names of her toes will come into play. You know, it's like the gun hanging on the wall in a in a Chekhov play.
Yeah, Easter eggs.
You know, those names are going to come into play at some point in the future. It's all part of the master plan.
The other one's calzone. They're just Italian foods, I'm sure. Blanche is, she's saying that Lucy's coming to stay with us for a couple weeks because she has to do college interviews. And it's really strange because it is Florida and it's like, it's not Ivy League like area. There's not very many prestigious schools in that area that would merit a college interview.
I really have to have a good interview to get into this Florida State school.
Right.
I really need to make a good impression.
Right.
And into this glorified community college.
Gator University is really tough to get into.
And I don't fucking understand, like, okay, she says, my 20-year-old niece is coming for college interviews. Okay, she's 20 years old. That means she graduated probably, like, two years ago. So what is she doing? Just fucking guys?
I wonder what
guys?
She was doing for those 2 years.
She's jizzing her pants.
Fucking guys.
Yeah.
She's jizzing her pants. She's wearing jizz pants when she first appears.
Right. So doing this job in her job.
The style of the day.
The jizz style of the day. So like she's going to go to this college interview and be like, I've just been fucking guys for 2 years. Like, what is she going to say? Maybe she was doing charity work in a...
I think she was doing charity work.
You know what I consider that? I consider that a charitable act. And
that's what she'll say. She'll just play on charitable. She was serving. She was helping out the men in service or something. You know, like...
servicing the men in service.
Servicing the men in service.
Servicing the servicemen, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay,
as
so...
community service.
So Dorothy comes in and she's freaking out over this like rat. She's like, there's a rat. Rat. Like she's and then when you open the door you can see Rose like Betty White in the kitchen and she's waiting for her cue to come in. I thought that was amazing. She's like head down like this. It was I like little details.
Yeah, see
like
that? That took me so out of the episode. I think it ruined the whole thing. Just seeing, it's like having a boom mic dip down and It's like seeing God's foot on the treadle of the universe. And you're like, oh no, I've seen the underpinnings of it all, and now it's all ruined for me.
We once saw like a dolly, like camera, the bottom of like a camera track, like into the side of the lanai, and it was pretty crazy. We were like, whoa, why is this vacuum cleaner moving into the scene?
See, I have no idea how we missed that in 85. Why are we not?
No,
we're not doing the close watch. The close, intense watch that you do now.
On our Sunday night sitcoms. Saturday night sitcoms.
Right. And then, okay, so then Rose comes in and she's like, yo, that's not a rat. It was a mouse. You're freaking out over nothing. And then Sophia and Dorothy are like holding each other's arms. Like, they're not, like, you made a good point, Genevieve. Like, I didn't think about that. Dorothy and Sophia are from New York. They should have been used.
Yeah, like, especially at that time, it was like the population was like half mice. So
they're from Brooklyn. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'd say the whole B. Arthur Hanner was is like half headlock, but then and then half eagle attack. She had like her talons, her bony claws sunk in one arm, and then the other. I would not, you know what, of the four of them, I would most be inclined, I think, to bang Blanche. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would least like to fight Bea Arthur.
I think Bea Arthur would put up a good fight.
I think it'd be an honor to fight Bea Arthur.
I think she's got legs like tree trunks, mm-hmm. but you never know because no one's ever seen her legs.
Right, no one's seen her legs since the 60s.
No,
probably.
Her clothing for this show and Mod, I think, supplied an entire textile factory in India for all their business. Like, we need another 80 yards of this fabric because Bea Arthur needs... another pair of pants.
We had this theory that they just have like this machine that they run Dorothy through, and it's like do 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 do, and they just like pour fabric on her, like, and then she just comes out with shoulder like ten shoulder pads draped.
Just maximum drape.
You know what? I would just like to add that even their pajamas have shoulder pads. If you watch the show.
They do. They have shoulder pads. It is amazing. It's like, I think like during their breaks, like they just add more shoulder pads. Like that's just what they do. If they just have a shoulder pad person.
They got a link to Paris. Like, more shoulder pads.
Okay. And then like, then Rose tells a story about how a mouse saved her life. And that's why we can't kill the mouse. She had a pet mouse when she was little, and she tied it with a kite string, and like was walking it to school because you can't carry your mouse. Apparently, you need to walk it to get it, give it exercise. I don't know.
Well, carrying your mouse would be gross.
Yeah, walking on dirt is not gross. Good point. And so Child Rose is crossing this. Is gonna cross this bridge on her own, and the mouse won't budge because apparently a mouse is really strong, and a child cannot move if a mouse doesn't want to move, and so this water rips apart the bridge and saves her life, and so that was ridiculous. Rose is probably lying. That sounds like a made up story. I'm sorry.
No,
like,
I think I think she probably just improv that whole story right there on the spot.
Right. Oh, you're right. Yes, she did. Yeah. So she doesn't think she wants to save the mouse. So maybe Rose is a little smarter than we give her credit for. Maybe like she's just manipulative.
That's a good theory.
and then Blanche's like, fuck that, I'm calling the exterminator, and starts dialing the phone number like she knows the exterminator's number by heart. Like, and it was ridiculous. And then that's when Lucy knocks on the door.
Do you think that Blanche fucked the exterminator?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, she's...
I'm going to call the exterminator. Reach for the phone and start dialing. Like, if you need an exterminator, would you just... You just like, hey, you know what? We need an exterminator. You reach for the phone, you just start dialing. How do you...
He's killed her bugs before. That's all I'm
That's why
to say.
The exterminator didn't kill the
several
mouse.
Infestations. So got another infestation.
I got
called
some
the exterminator.
Cockroaches in my crotch.
Cockroaches. You said cock. Okay.
Cockroaches in my crotch.
That's why they call them that.
Well, that's why the exterminator never killed the mouse, because whenever he came over, he just fucked Blanche. And so they can never get anything
Who
done.
Can blame him?
Who can blame him, right? I mean, her niece is getting all this fucking action, and no one's fucking Blanche. I mean, I think the whole episode is just Blanche being jealous, right?
Yeah.
She totally wants that young dick. I don't even know. If it was young dick, Lucy could have been fucking, like, middle-aged married man for all we
That's
know,
true. We
right?
only saw one of three.
Right, a doctor yeah. and a college admissions like person who's
sorry, really?
That sounds
well
like,
it's easy to be starstruck by a college admissions professional,
right?
He's probably got a tweed jacket and get you into college.
The Gator
elbow patches and I just got wet.
Gator University. I want that Gator University college admissions dick. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Lucy comes in and she's like wearing these pants. Well, she knocks on the door. Apparently, they can't go pick her up at the airport. She comes in and she's wearing these jeans with like two white spots on her crotch, which were very. I didn't notice them until we watched it today, and I was like, "That looks like fucking jizz." I'm sorry.
Pre-jizz jeans were really popular. In the 80s.
And then
it's a big style.
And they went down to her legs. Like it was like a pattern of jizz. And then I thought.
Pattern of jizz.
Right. A jizz pattern. And so.
A jizz motif, if jizz, you will.
Yeah, it was a jizz motif. Oh, you know that I was around back. That was the style of the day. Even guys wore them.
Jizz jeans?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool. On the butt. Just
sure.
Just the jizz.
No,
just,
on the butt appliques.
And the butt.
On the front jizz.
Okay, front jizz. Okay, butt appliques. But there were jizz butt appliques. Okay, so she's like super excited because she met a doctor on the plane. And then the doctor is going to take her out to dinner in 30 minutes. And it's like full daytime. And so, like, Blanche is kind of like, well, what would your mother let? She's trying to be the cool aunt. She lets her go. She says, oh, what does she say? Lucy says, "If you know what they say, if you got a stallion eating out of your palm, best close the gate before. No, if you got a stallion eating oats out of your hand, best close the gate before you give him the sugar."
That's it.
Okay.
Ooh, say, you know what? Say that again to me, because that was really hot.
The dumbest fucking shit I've ever heard. I don't think it makes sense. You know what I mean?
You know what, Anthony, maybe that's why,
right?
You know, in your interpersonal life, you know, I think maybe there's a message there for you.
I think the message is trap a man.
Trap
a
man.
I think it's a cute way to say trap that man.
Right.
But then put out.
But I think like
the sugar.
Put out
that the
stable.
Message to me would mean that don't go to dinner with him yet. Like keep him wanting more, you know, cancel plans, see him the next day. It doesn't mean go fuck him now. So I don't know.
So you're saying Lucy's big mistake
Lucy
was that she
misinterprets quotes.
and that I think is the message of the episode is, you know what, hey girls, sometimes there's a quote you might misinterpret it
and then you go fuck someone because of it.
Okay, I guess I just didn't give it that much thought, Anthony. I'm a little embarrassed by that.
See, I
so
was...
don't
okay
I mean this is a okay this is a doctor that took a shine to a 20-year-old on a plane. and then he was like, yeah, you want to go to dinner? Want
right.
to go out my boat? And I think she saw the opportunity that it was probably fleeting. He's probably meeting people all over the place.
Right.
Yeah.
See, my problem with that he's got a boat. Why is he taking a plane somewhere?
Right. Mm. Well,
he could be taking his boat
from Atlanta. Not very boat. accessible.
Okay, well, I'm not sure. Does Atlanta have a major port?
Actually, I don't even know.
No, it's landlocked.
Right. I don't even know if they were coming from, like, who knows where she lives now, right? So they never explain it.
She was coming from Moscow, Russia.
Moscow. Apparently, her accent could have been from anywhere. Okay, then she's like, she drops her bag on the ground, and she's like, I got to get going. I got to go meet him in 30 minutes. And so then she leaves.
Or less, or it's free.
Or it's free. Mm-hmm. And so then there's no discussion of, like how are you going to get there? Is he picking you up? Is the cab still out there? It just seems really odd that she just, like, walks out. And that didn't make sense.
Like, you know, it's like,
Henry, I'm going to go walking.
It's like Henry Miller wrote.
Like Henry Miller world?
You have to grant an author their donné. You have to give them that and accept that you are within this world. And there are certain things. And you just suspend that criticism.
I understand that, but in our world we want to destroy their reality and think about it and why couldn't they just say one thing or write something to make it just work a little bit smoother or make it more sense?
Or good thing you rented that car.
Yeah.
You can give a nod to reality. That is true.
Okay. You can acknowledge that the writers could have done a little bit more to make it make more sense. You know, but I understand, it's a TV show. We suspend our reality a little bit, but I suspend my reality for like X-Files, you know, like this is a sitcom, right? And so this is serious business. Okay. Okay. So the next episode, Dorothy and Rose are in the kitchen and Dorothy just saw a mouse. I believe that's what happens. And then Dorothy's like, Dorothy's like, I'm gonna fucking kill it. And Rose is like, you can't. I'll communicate with that animal. I tried communicating with the animal, but the mouse didn't want to leave. So she believes that she can talk to the mouse. And so Dorothy starts dialing the phone, and then she already knows the exterminator's phone number already. It's the next morning, by the way.
They're fucking.
Yeah. Because they're all fucking the exterminator. Blanche comes in and she's like, I'm really worried about Lucy. Lucy didn't come home last night. And her bed has not been slept in. And I didn't understand that because all the beds in that house are already taken. Like, there's been issues with, there being only 4 beds. And where everyone's gonna sleep. So I don't know if they got a cot. I don't understand.
They've gotten a cot. They're inexpensive. Got an old hospital bed.
Right.
Assume she just any guests come over to stay, they just squeeze in between Estelle Getty's toes.
They snuggle with Estelle Getty.
Snuggle in there with between toe 3 and 4.
She wasn't
Freddie and Eddie.
She wasn't sleeping with Sophia's toes. I don't know where she went. Okay, and then Lucy comes in and she's like wearing the same clothes from last night, which is kind of gross. She's wearing the same jizz pants, probably with more jizz. And so
definitely
she's
with more jizz.
With more jizz. And she's like, I'm fucking in love.
Her shoulder pads engorged.
She hasn't changed or showered probably in
that's a good
30
point.
Hours.
She does not shower once in this entire episode.
Does not shower and just comes. I think she's in that house for 3 minutes the entire time. She comes, she says she's a slut, and then she leaves to go fuck some other guy. And the arc of Blanche's character is I'm kind of I think the writers were like, Blanche is going to have to see what it is to deal with herself. Let's put a mirror on her. You know, this is what being a, you know, and so I understand that, but it wasn't I don't think it was effective. Okay. Anyway, that's my 2 cents on that. But okay, so Lucy's Lucy gets there in the morning and then she's like, I got to go to bed. I gotta sleep. I gotta power nap before my interview because I didn't sleep all last night. Obviously, she was fucking a doctor on a boat.
Because who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't? Yeah, but I'm like, I have a strong feeling that he was like this 55 or 65 year old, like married guy. You know?
Oh, he's definitely married.
Definitely married. I mean, how can you be in and you're in love so fast? It's ridiculous. I mean, Steve, you have daughters. What do you think about that? What would you?
Well, I'm conflicted. You had Lucy. I'm conflicted.
Would you? Let's I'm make conflicted because you know what?
I have daughters.
Yeah. But at the same I just time, thought of that.
But at the same time, I'm a doctor and I've got a boat. You know. Right. So,
Steve is a doctor, you know, listeners.
Being a doctor and having a boat are both very stressful just on their own. To combine the two, you need to cut loose. You need to find a 20-year-old who thinks she has to make an effort to get into a Florida school, and you take her out there, and she talks about a mouse or something. But it doesn't matter. You just put it right in there.
She's got a weird fucking accent.
She's got like, a weird hairstyle.
You're like, I know it's 85, but this top button, is that actually sewn together? Is that, how do you get this thing on? I know there's a girl in there somewhere.
You dress like my wife, but you're 20 years old. I'll fuck you.
Yeah, I know. Did you borrow some of B. Arthur's clothes? And
oh, God. And so, what happens next? And then she goes to bed, and they all just sit there, and Rosa says something like, I don't believe in having sex with a man on the first date. And then Sophia comes in and she's like, oh, Rose is like, Sophia, do you believe that too? And then Sophia's like, it's a sin. And I was just like, what? Like, how did this get so heavy? Like, Sophia's never been religious in this episode, except for one time when she was gonna die and she asked for a rosary. She thought she was having a heart attack, but she wasn't. But then she's like, it's a sin. And it's like, Rose is like, you don't believe that having sex on the first date, so you believe that having sex on the first date is wrong. She's like, I didn't say it was wrong, I said it's a sin. Like, she just said, I'll tell you what the Bible says, but I would probably do it anyway. You know, I don't know.
You know, I think you're raising a lot of interesting theological issues here.
Sorry. I'm sorry. It sparked a thought in me.
Maybe you're getting a little heavy. Maybe you should put in some shoulder pads.
Maybe I should.
And drape some cloth on you.
Sorry to bring it down to heavy town, guys. I just thought that was interesting.
Are we still talking about Golden Girls?
Right.
Anthony.
We're talking about the Reformation.
Right. Well, I just think a lot of people just say, like, they preach the word of God and then they fucking do other things that aren't in that word. Mm-hmm. And then they fucking, sorry, listeners, if you're not buying this, but I just thought that was funny. I thought that was like a homage to that idea. Okay, and so the next scene, Sophia and Dorothy are playing checkers in the lanai. And who knows if this... No, they're not even playing chess. They're playing checkers. Mm-hmm. And they're having issues with the game because Sophia's not playing it right. And who knows if that game even was logistically...
Okay. Sophia... They're always playing games with Sophia, and Sophia is always doing some kind of business every single time. Yeah. When are they going to learn? I mean, we've seen like 6-7 episodes with like playing games with Sophia, and she's hiding pieces and
she's picking up cards.
Oh, I didn't realize that was a theme that was being played through there. So yeah. It's checkers, and what else have you guys seen her play?
They've played cards, and she's cheating.
Knuckle.
Or she's playing Trivial Pursuit and she's coming up with her own answers. And it's like just this, you know, pattern. Don't play with Sophia. You should know better.
No, she's Sicilian.
Yeah, she's Sicilian. She's not going to play fair.
Yeah.
And she used to live in a home. Like, it's super competitive there, like with board games. like that's what your goal, like you wake up and you're like, I'm gonna win today at Yahtzee. That is my goal. And so, right,
so she was in a home and then she moved in with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
do you think she misses the smell of disinfectant and urine? Or do you think there's plenty of that
hopefully
there? And
what happened is the Shady Pines burned down, the home that she lived in, and she had to move in.
No.
So she probably misses the smell of old people being alive, if anything.
Anytime there's a barbecue, she wakes up screaming. Is that yeah. She's haunted by the dude, scent of burning.
When I was like 8 years old, I lived next to a retirement home, and on Halloween it burnt down and all these old people died. And I remember watching the fire through the other side of the brick wall. And
where
then,
you were hiding after you started yes, the fire.
Yes. Right? And at the time, I was like into Golden Girls. But it was like, isn't that crazy? Like, and I just remember that when I think of Shady Pines burning down. Anyway, I'm getting really dark and really
just
deep.
What's funny is because during the whole fire, they were still complaining that it was drafty.
Yes.
I'm still cold. Oh, I need a sweater.
It is Miami and they're wearing sweaters.
They wear way too many layers for Miami. That also takes me out of it.
That takes me out of it too. Okay. But you have to suspend your disbelief.
I think the 80s were a big sweater time.
I suspended my disbelief to be here today.
Okay, so then Lucy comes in and she's like, hey guys, I went to the job interview, I keep thinking she's applying for a job because that would make more sense for a character to be there for a job.
Maybe
instead
for
of
trade school.
Trade school.
Yeah. Trying to get into refrigeration school.
In Key West.
Gator refrigeration.
How many people have to fuck their way into refrigeration school?
She's 20. She's not going to college, guys. Get it through your heads. She's going to fuck guys. It doesn't matter. And so she went to... they don't even mention what college it is. Ever.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Okay, Florida Tech, it doesn't matter. And so she's like, I met someone. I'm not going to be home for dinner. The admissions guy, he's taking me to the Bahamas on a plane. And and I won't be home at all, like, for 2 days. And then Blanche comes in and she's like, WTF, what are you doing? And that's when she kind of starts, well, they already called her a slut earlier, and so she's like, but she believes that it's Michael the doctor, and that's why she lets her go. You need to go celebrate that you got into college. They didn't even say she got into college. They just said like the interview went well. Like,
she's like, I wear a pink sweater that I really like, and
yeah. I don't like to kiss and tell, but the interview went well. I
fucked this dude.
Do you see these stains on my pants?
Right.
It went well.
Right. I don't think Lucy knows how to be a slut right. Like when you're
testify.
Yeah. Testify. You need to testify. When you're like a kid and you're slutting around, like, you don't tell like your authorities or your parents that you're seeing that you're fucking two guys in within 24 hours. You know, you don't.
So what you're saying is she doesn't have enough shame.
She doesn't have enough shame. Yeah, she's just blatantly openly slutty and you're not like doing it right, girl. Like, you're just You're supposed to be like, yeah, I'm going because I'm going to go do a tour of the campus. They want me to stay at the dorms for a couple days. And that's how you do it. That's how you get away with shit. Like, did she?
Yeah, see, she seemed just remarkably clueless.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you could be sitting next to her on a plane. Tell her you're a doctor, right?
Doctor.
Right?
She was probably at a Taco Bell. It wasn't even a college, and she just like talked to some guy.
And I've got a boat. And he takes you down. And there's a canoe on the roof of his car.
Well, the guy. Okay, like the guy. I'm jumping ahead, but the guy ends up like being arrested for smuggling marijuana from the Bahamas in the airplane.
I know. So they just gloss over it.
They gloss over it. But I'm like, that guy was not a college admissions person you were talking to. Like, that guy was like a human trafficker or some sort of drug dealer that you were talking to. You're a fucking idiot, Lucy.
I'm a college admissions officer. Would you like to fly down to the Bahamas in my plane?
Makes no sense. Like, it's so ridiculous. And so so I just think Lucy is just fucking retarded. And I think that's the problem. She needs to stop being dumb. Like, sleep around. Who cares? Just don't be dumb. You can get killed. Okay, so she's fucking her way to the top, guys. Fucking her way to the top. And so the next scene, Lucy... Okay, it's like, I guess 2 days later, because she got back from the Bahamas, and Blanche is passed out on the couch, and Lucy comes in with Ed. The one and only Ed, who is this guy who's wearing... like this beige, like really silky, like suit.
He's maximum Miami Vice.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is when Miami Vice references.
Yes,
start.
He's got the white suit with the sleeves rolled up a little.
Yeah, sleeves rolled up and like a blue tee inside, which is very Miami Vice. And so Lucy's like, I'm just going to be a second. In her accent. And then Blanche is like, what? Like, where you been? I, and then she's like, Blanche, this is Ed. Oh, she's like, she thinks it's, she, oh, Blanche confronts her. She's like, okay, like, you can't lie to me, or you can't be fucking two guys in 24 hours. Only I can do that. And like, she's got a front. And then like, she's like, Ed, you need to go. You need to fucking go. And then she's like, I'm going to go with Ed. I'm 20 years old. You can't tell me what to do. And so Blanche is like, fucking, I forget exactly what they said. But, oh, Ed introduces himself like, hi, I'm Ed, Miami Vice.
Clearly, the high point of the entire episode is when Ed walks in his Miami Vice togs, announces, I'm Ed, Miami Vice.
But, like, okay, I'm sorry, but why would you introduce yourself as Miami Vice? Because
it was really huge back then.
It was huge. It was huge. I understand that, but, like, people don't say, like, hi, I am Los Angeles Vice or Phoenix Vice.
Tends to blow your cover.
It tends to blow your cover, right?
He's definitely lying. Like, I think basically, like, he has to, like, walk into a room and be like, hey, guys, I'm a cop, right? Like, he didn't even flash his badge.
Because nowhere did we see this
and
badge.
By the way, that's a good point. If someone says they're a cop, you should ask them for their badge.
Yeah.
What, or it could just be Ed.
Right. What I was thinking, like, is, like, Lucy was in on the drug deal somehow, or she was, like, be arrested for being an accomplice, and he was taking her home, and then he's like, whoa, I can fuck her. And so she's like, hold up, I need to get my birth control so you can fuck me without a condom or something. I don't know what they want. She wanted, I don't know why she, I don't, that wouldn't make sense.
Yes.
Right. It makes sense.
It makes sense. Yeah, because I need my after pill.
Because okay. I have to tell you, if there is one person who I consider an expert about birth control, it's Anthony DeSmet.
Right.
I think more than anyone else.
Okay, maybe it was a morning
he's
after
my
pill.
My go-to guy.
I know all about it. I take
how
it.
Not to have a baby.
I don't want to have a butt baby, guys. And so something sketchy going on, and I don't even. Ed arrested. Michael, the college admissions guy, and somehow they strike a romance, and I don't know how this happened. Like, he was arresting the guy, and she was just like, oh wow, I like your handcuffs.
Be like, don't hurt him, he's my boyfriend. Oh hey, you're cute.
I think if anything, he's an airport cop. I don't think he's a real cop. He's just like
No, as, he had the jacket.
He had the he had the jacket. Okay, and so, and at no point, okay, so then they're like, fuck you, Blanche, we're going home. We're going to Ed's house. Did they say that they were going across the street?
Yeah, she said that he lived across the street, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, that he lived in an apartment complex nearby. Yeah.
And they knew exactly which number it was, even though they did not. We saw the entire scene.
I just asked her, like, where's that shitty Miami Vice guy
right.
with the white jackets? And they were like, that guy.
Where's that fucking crazy Miami? Like,
we're looking for our niece who, over there, 28B.
We're a bunch of pissed off old ladies.
They know, and they all go together, right? Like they're there to back up, like
well,
the backup.
B. Arthur was definitely the muscle.
She's always the muscle.
Or they were in the car, and they were like they went into his car, and they were parked outside still, and they were able to follow them. Like she was maybe like BJ time in the car, and they were. I don't know. Something was weird about finding them. Okay. And so that was...
No, you're right. You know what? I have to tell you, I've been to my pot dealer's apartment like 30 times, and it still takes me forever to find it. I get in the complex and like cruise around. They all look like... How do they just zoom right in on that?
They're all sitting in the kitchen when talking about being sluts when they were teenagers. And then they're like, well, let's go find them.
Right. And then they called the exterminator.
They
know his number.
they
punched that right in.
They sniffed out the scent of depression and jizz, and they could find her. Something, or the mouse was so smart, let them to their house.
Tied a kite string to him.
And then just they just followed the string. Wow. They missed that whole scene where Rose and Dorothy talk to the animal and they find
Ed's place.
Ed's Miami home.
Where everything is made of fur.
Okay. And so hold on. So they're at the Miami Vice apartment. Well, it doesn't start with them barging in. It starts with like he makes her a drink. And then, like, gives her a drink. And then she never drinks it. And I was like, good. I was waiting. I was like,
oh, wow. Did you think there was something in there?
Yeah, dude. Like, totally. Like that guy's
some
sketchy
some Cosby shit going
some
on.
Some Cosby shit going on.
Yeah,
it's 1985.
Why not throw that?
Yeah, right he's Spanish flying that bitch, dude.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then he wants Rose to come back, probably to Spanish fly her, too. And so we see a lot of things. I see a sheep, a fake sheep on
like
the side.
There is a stuffed love sheep.
A stuffed love sheep, which I'm like, are you fucking this sheep? Like, you have to be. I mean, that's a jerk off toy right there. And then there's a blow up palm tree, a fake movie film projector, and then there's like a fern inside of like a chimney, and then just weird shit everywhere. And lots of color.
Well, you know what? At the time that set was dressed, there was a lot of cocaine.
Yeah.
It looked like drugs on the scene.
It looked like Zach Morris's apartment, like bedroom from Saved by the Bell. It was just so much going on.
I think it was the same designer.
The same designer.
Same designer.
It looks like the credits of Saved by the Bell designed this apartment. It was...
And there's a lot of fur in Saved by the Bell.
There's a bear rug on the couch. Like, it's ridiculous.
I never allow my bear rug on the couch.
Never do that. That's super tacky. And so she's sitting there. They're talking about Miami Vice. He's like, you've never seen the show? And she's like, I've never seen the show. And he's like, and he keeps talking about the show. Like, well, my favorite character is this. And I'm like, dude. She fucking has never seen the show. She's 20 years old. She's She fucks guys. She doesn't watch TV.
I'm surprised this guy didn't try to tell her that he was one of the stars of the show.
Right? Just try to pass off as that.
You know what? He probably had that up his sleeve, but he decided he didn't need to use it because she was all, I'm trying so hard to get into Florida State University. And he's like, yeah.
Right.
Oh, wow. This is like shooting fish in a barrel.
Right.
Like, holy cow. I don't need to tell this girl I'm Don Johnson.
And tell her I'm Bill Johnson. And this is my Big Apple. You're like, really? Okay. Let's do it then.
And yes, also, he just arrested the guy that was going to get her into college. And so that guy's going to lose his job unless he filed the paperwork already. And so now she's like not able to go to Gator University. And so it's like she doesn't even care. And so there's a knock on the door. Okay. And then they're like, Blanche is like, I want to see my daughter. And he's like, okay, come in. Like, three old ladies just showed up at your house, and he's, like, totally okay with it. Like, he's not fazed by it at all. And also the scene where they barged out of the
home. He was all like, cha-ching.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, you brought your friends, huh?
Right, I can talk to them about Miami Vice all night long. Oh, yeah. Man.
Would Tubbs do this?
Oh, you know what? I hate to derail this, but before I get to mention this, here's the kind of weird, eerie part is, okay, so you're in a universe where Miami Vice exists, but Golden Girls doesn't.
Whoa.
Right?
Raps my... Yeah, that is insane. That is insane. Well, the two reality...
Or he would have been like, oh my God, you guys are the Golden Girls. I like Miami Vice.
What if it like came...
I'm meeting you in person.
What if it came right after the other and he's just ass freaked out, like, and his like... psyche is just shattered because he's modeled his entire life after Miami Vice. Like he says it's my favorite show, my apartment is Miami Vice, and he says that he's even in debt because he wants to live the life that they live on that show. And then the whole joke is that the cops on that show can't afford that lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so that, and then they do that punchline and not a big payoff. The audience is not really laughing. So like this whole
thing, the audience is like, don't take me out of Miami Vice. I'm trying to believe.
Right. Yeah. they're trying to suspend their disbelief so they can keep enjoying Miami Vice, but Golden Girls is ruining it. And so the whole construct of that whole character and that plot to make it funny just fails because the joke didn't even work. Yeah. Like, it was just lame. And so then I really like this joke where Lucy's like, by the way, they should have said, Lucy has some explaining to do. I kept thinking,
oh, that would have been nice.
That would have been nice. That would have been a great joke. But Lucy was like, we can talk here, Blanche. I don't keep any secrets from. And then he goes, Ed. And then I love that joke. She doesn't even know what's his name.
So yeah, fuck so many guys.
so many guys. And so they go into the room to talk, his room.
Which, that was weird.
That was really awkward.
Yeah.
They should have gone for a walk or something else, or gone back to the apartment.
No, I'm glad they went to his room. That was an awesome room.
Right. It was an awesome room. It was just as crazy as the living room. There was full-on fur... like bed covers, there was a his wardrobe, you can see all his suits. And so crazy lamps, but the wallpaper was not that great. I liked the rug, it was pink, but the wallpaper I didn't like.
Well, I have to disagree, Gene. I thought the wallpaper was
sorry.
It was really the
I really didn't like
the
it.
The linchpin.
It looked like old kitchen wallpaper.
But that was the thing in the '80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I give the wallpaper an A minus. Yeah.
A minus. Okay.
It could have been furrier.
It could have been furrier.
Yeah, it could have been furrier.
And then he's like sucking on a cigarette and never turns it on, which really bothered me.
Yeah, I really like seeing him take a cigarette out, and I was like, oh, thank God, someone's gonna smoke on TV. But then he never lit it because you know it's because Betty White has asthma,
right?
And it's in her rider.
Well, he just has it in his hand, and he's like. Posing, like, listeners, I was posing as a cop, like, cool cop, but
yeah.
It wasn't working.
I would have liked to have seen him like light it up and then like cough a whole bunch of times.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, that would have been good. He's never smoked before. And then so then they sort of they find out that Rose and him have the same Miami Vice love. And so they bond over that while Rose is petting the sheep and she's like, "I love your apartment," which
it's
is
very erotic.
Great line for Rose. It was great. And then they switch over to the bedroom scene. And they're having a very serious convo about how Lucy became slutty. And she's like, really, like, to me, it feels like Lucy was like, "Oh, my aunt's a slut.
Yeah, it was I learned it from watching you.
Yeah, you taught me how
like,
to do this.
I learned to be a slut by watching you, yeah. Anthony. Like,
I learned it from you, aunt. I learned it from you.
I do say that if I was a Golden Grubby Blanche. I straight up own that. Yeah. And so,
because I see much more as a Sophia, but
really,
no.
Okay, she's trying like to
annoy you.
Okay, and then like, okay, what I didn't get was like Lucy says that when I was little, I was fat and gross and ugly, and no one wanted to fuck me. Mm-hmm. And so, well, finally, she was 16, and she shot up. Her boobs fell out of her blouse and guys were like, "I want to fuck you now."
Slow down, man. I'm enjoying this.
Sorry. And so,
tell me more about her boobs falling out of her
boobs falling out of her blouse. Oh, and guys, no,
what
fuck
she said was she shot up and then she shot out
and shot out.
And that, yeah, what a yeah. sexy way to put it.
Right. I like to get this. Gross.
You're talking about the guys who shot out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they shot on me.
And the ones who shot up. Yeah.
They also shot out on
my
face.
I shot out and then they shot all over me.
But okay, but since 16 she was hot, so she had a good 4 years to get through that slut phase. Like you're barely going through
that's
it.
That's assuming it's a phase.
Yeah.
Right.
See, I think, you know what, it's a classic, you know, 70s, 80s sitcom, 30-second resolution,
right.
Everything. I don't think right. she changed. I think she appeared to, but I think she's going to
keep being a slut. She's going to keep fucking guys.
She's going to keep blazing a fuck trail.
Right. She stays like another week and she's like, "I'm all cured." Like they could have just said, "I'm all cured from my slutness."
Yeah. Like, "I met a guy in the bus. He says he's the Pope. I'm going to go fuck him now."
He's going to take me to Vatican City.
Yeah, on an airplane.
The president wants to fuck me. Okay. And then she says like, okay.
That's prescient.
Like, and I didn't get this. She was like, "I want it to be when I was 15, like I wanted to be like my Aunt Blanche, who was hot and sexy and had friends and then was popular." And I'm like, "Did Blanche go to high school with you? I don't understand." Like,
yes, Blanche was the high school slut at her niece's high school.
Or she was hanging out at the high school. Or something.
Well, one thing was they kind of talked about where story is from Blanche's life. Like, basically, like how she went to New York City, you know, and became a rocket for 2 months under an assumed name. And then she got engaged at 16 or tried to run away and get married. And like, so these are all stories that she's heard.
It's a little weird to assume a name to be a rocket. I don't know. What's your name?
I mean, don't they all have fake names?
Yeah.
Blank something. Oh, no. You're on my list of you can't be a rocket. Excuse me, Jane Doe. You're up. Now start kicking.
We just want everyone here to be runaways.
Why did she run away?
You don't seem like a runaway to me.
Who did she kill? Why was she on the run? Like,
makes sense, though, because runaways would have the best legs.
They would.
From all that running away.
All the Rockettes were runaways, guys. It was like a safe house like kind of deal for women. Okay, so then what I liked about this scene, like Blanche sort of justifies her sluttiness by saying there's a lot of slut shaming and then justifying sluttiness. Like, so Blanche says, believe me, when I'm with a guy, it's because I like them, not because I want them to like me. And then I was like, okay.
Ding.
Ding. But
that sounds nice.
That sounds great. And then she just Lucy just owns up to like, yeah, I want guys to like me because they never liked me before. And then they're like, and then they make up, and then they leave, and then.
Then they start fucking.
And then they start no, fucking. Sorry. They do. Ed is like, where are you guys going? And then she's like, I'm gonna go. I'm not a slut anymore. And then. Everything was resolved. And then he's like, can I call you? And she's like, sure. Like, just sure. And then she was like, no.
Like in 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
You can go back here and start fucking in 10 minutes. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, his roofies went to waste. And then.
But turns out he wanted to call Rose.
He wanted to call Rose. Yeah. So creepy.
They're both huge Miami Vice fans.
Right.
Now, see, that I think was the nicest part of it is they formed a connection about common interest and shared beliefs. And I think those two belong together. But then Rose was oh, no, I don't think so.
Right, because you're crazy.
You are no Alan Ludden.
Right, you are not. And I think he could have been like a serial killer, too. He could have been like just skinned your face kind of guy and tries to fashion it into characters of Miami Vice.
They were going to go through Don Johnson's trash.
Oh, yes.
He's
like
buddies.
We're going to go through because Don Johnson lives in Miami.
Right. Because you know that all the actors every actor lives in the city that they shoot their TV show in. Because
that's why there's never been a sitcom on the moon. You can't live on the moon.
No. Yeah, because you know all the Golden Girls lived in Miami.
No Bikram yoga on the moon.
Right. You know, all the Friends lived in New York. Just kidding.
They all lived in apartments.
They were all
They did. They lived there in four locations in New York.
They lived in two apartments.
New York was two apartments and a coffee place and a DMV.
Yeah, it was not shot. Drive. They did not live in Burbank, a block away from the studio at all. Right. What was the next scene? Oh, the mouse scene. That's when Dorothy's talking to the mouse.
Would this be the epilogue if this was a Columbo?
Yes. Yeah, it was a very Shakespearean experience. Ooh, that was lovely how that sounded. But the mouse was red-eyed, very creepy looking. And then Dorothy just had a full-on convo about how I'm going to kill you with this fucking broom if you don't leave now. And then she has a heart-to-heart with the mouse. And then she's like, what were you going to say, Jenny?
Oh, I don't remember now.
Okay. Right.
Let me just say the mouse reaction shots.
Yeah, mouse reaction.
Really amazing.
Right. Yeah. They were like Dorothy was probably the coach for that mouse or the acting coach.
I really respected the mouse's choice to be stroking a house cat while they were having this conversation. And he just improv that. The mouse is just an amazing artist.
Great. Yeah. He went on to do a lot of movies. He did he was in Flowers for Algernon, I think. I think that was the mouse. But he helped to find the apartment. I don't know why she wants to kill him. That's so rude.
We did find out that just like everyone else in America, the under sink cabinet, filthy.
Yeah, super disgusting.
They're just like us.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, there was like water damage and everything. I was like, whoever dressed that part of the set is probably a fucking intern. It's probably his only day. He's like, this is how this should look. And he nailed it.
He spent all day.
Throw some comet on the ground.
That man went on to become Quentin Tarantino.
That was probably poison. He was in the Golden Girls.
It was very gritty and realistic.
Quentin was an extra in the Golden Girls.
He was?
Yeah, yeah. There was an episode where they had a bunch of Elvises in the living room, and he was one of the Elvises. Yay. But, okay, so the mouse...
I love how troubled you find Miami Vice guy, right? Fictional Miami Vice guy with his fixation.
Okay, so Dorothy says the exterminator said that you came in through this hole, and so get out through the hole you came from. And I'm like, why didn't the exterminator fix the hole? Like, why didn't he just left it open for more mice to come in? Like, you're the worst exterminator. You're just fucking Blanche.
Are we still talking about mouse holes?
Yes.
We're talking about something else.
Let's talk about okay.
I think that exterminator likes some holes.
Yeah. It's sad that they didn't actually have this through the hole. You never see the exterminator come through. They managed to dial him up, and he came out, and he said, the exterminator came out, inspected the residents and said, well, he came in through this hole and then he left. And that's what the exterminator did.
That's all he did. Oh,
then he
fucked Blanche.
He fucked Blanche.
Then he fucked her mouse hole filled with roaches. Yeah. And so we determined that there were roaches in there, right? Okay.
Cockroaches.
I think we agreed that there, I do believe we agreed that there are cockroaches in Blanche's pussy. I think we established that earlier on.
Established that.
The podcast late.
Yeah, sorry.
If you move to like the 50th minute.
What are the accords at the Geneva conference we're having here?
And yes, that is canonical. So that carries forward into Golden Palace and Emptiness. There are references to the cockroach-filled pussy of Blanche.
Season 3, we see the cockroaches fall out of her vagina like the Oogie Boogie Man and Nightmare Before Christmas. You remember that episode? Okay.
I'm spilling out Blanche's vagina.
Okay. And so the last scene, then Blanche is like, hey guys, stop talking about fucking mouse. Lucy's leaving. And then Lucy's like getting ready to go. She's completely recovered from her sex addiction. She feels good about, they put her through training. They had seminars, like shock therapy.
Mm-hmm.
They put a dick in front of her and it shocked her. And then, so now she's good. Right. And so, all is well in the Golden Girls, world. And so they're like, bye, have fun. It was glad to have you. And Sophia's like, so did half of Miami. And then...
This really good, right.
Pretty good mean burn. And then she just leaves. They don't drive her to the airport. Who knows where she's going? Maybe going back to Ed's house. Who knows what's going to happen?
She's fucking her way back to Atlanta.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely. And earlier also, Blanche says, I need to mention, Blanche says that Charmaine is her older sister when she's in fact her younger sister.
And much like when Sherman went to Atlanta, everyone's like, what's that burning sensation? Oh, Civil War joke. Got it in there. Yeah.
And then
Sherman's March to Sea.
That's right.
Reference, guys.
To the C word.
Yay. And then Blanche just says, I'm not really that slutty. And then Rose is like, really? And then she's like, maybe. And then
the big finish. I think they should have closed with We're out of milk. Actually closed the scene. Everybody just sits there staring at each other for a while. And then Estelle Getty's like, we're out of milk.
And then it seems like they just ran out of film. And then they just like, okay, we'll pick it up tomorrow.
They're like, all right, we're at 22 minutes.
That's just kind of a little tired. That's a little dose of Golden Girls gritty reality, you know? It's like, you know what? It's not always about these other things. Sometimes about whether you have milk or not.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Okay. Well, that's it. We did it.
Yeah.
Yay.
We got through it.
Yay.
We did get through it. We'll all wake up screaming for some time into the future. But we did get through it.
Well, thank you, Steve, so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was fun.
Awesome. Nice. So do you have any shows coming up? This comes out on Wednesday. Do you want to plug anything?
Oh, well, I've got a show coming up Wednesday and then the Wednesday after that and every Wednesday into perpetuity.
Yeah.
I will be at Matt Micheletti's Comedy on Fire. I believe that is...
January 30th.
I'm in February.
Oh, you're February.
February 20-something. Mm-hmm. Just Google me. I don't know.
We'll Google Steve Maxwell.
You know what? Stay home. Yeah. Watch my Miami Vice, which is I'm gonna start a podcast about Miami Vice.
Oh, great. And, okay. And we'll just be like, they can't afford anything on that show. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
On a cop salary.
If I were to start a podcast about Miami Vice, I would call it Miami Rice.
Yay!
Oh, good Yay, job.
That's really good.
I was thinking Genevieve Miami, but yours is better.
My Rice. And Steve, where can people see you online? Or do you, your Facebook? You have Facebook? Find him on Facebook.
I'm fairly well hidden. Yeah. You can Google Steve Maxwell and see what comes up. Yeah. You will either get me or you will get a guy who has my name, who is a Russian kettlebell fitness expert. And right. I would direct you to his website as well. Mm-hmm. Be sure and buy his first Kindle book, which is called My First Chin-Up. And
right,
and then see, and there's a picture of him crouching, sipping water from a stream. Very muscular, definitely not me.
Right,
but his name is Steve Maxwell, so Yay. I like to promote whatever he's got going on.
Oh wow! So check him out and Steve Maxwell, and you can check out
Steve Maxwell or Steve Maxwell
comedy.
Any Steve
Google
Maxwell,
Steve Maxwell
fine.
Comedy
fine,
yeah. or check out the Steve Hidden Maxwell. House Comedy Show, and there's a Facebook page for that, and it's one of my favorite shows in the world. And there's a Twitter at Comedy on Tap that you can follow and find out what the updates on the show are. And Genevieve, do you have any shows coming up?
I do. Our next house show actually is on Monday, February 16th.
Ooh.
So mark your calendars. Okay. It's going to be right here. And thank you for being a podcast headquarters. So,
hey, thank you for being
in the spare bedroom,
bat cave, yeah, hidden under the mountains of.
And where can we find you online?
I'm at Genevieve Rice on Twitter and on Facebook, and also on Instagram.
Cool. So. And I'm Anthony DeSamito, and I'm gonna be at Comedy on Fire January 30th, co-headlining with Genevieve.
Not on January 30th.
No, are we? Which one are we on?
It's like March 27th.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the next one. Okay, never mind. Okay, then I don't know when I'm on.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll
so,
be.
So Genevieve, where else will Anthony be and when? Since he doesn't appear to know.
I don't know. Okay, I'll be in Prescott February 7th with Molly, and Genevieve maybe
possibly
at the Brick and Butts or something.
Brick and Butts.
Brick and Butts.
I've been there.
Brick and Butts. That'll be super fun. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram.
When you come back, I'm going to slut shame you.
Damn
when
it.
When you come back from Brick and Butts, I'm going to be like, Anthony.
Why you butt bricks?
I never sucked a dick because I needed to feel good about it. I've sucked a dick because I like dick. That's what you got to...
It's not because I wanted the dick to like me. It's because I like the dick.
That's right. That's why you suck a dick. Not because you want the dick to like you. You need to like yourself before you like dick.
We learned a lot about philosophy.
How many times do I have to tell you guys that?
Right. All right. And Tiff Bapp is our Twitter, TYFBAP. You can find us on Libsyn.com. Thank you for being a podcast.libsyn.com. We're on Stitcher and iTunes. Thank you for being a podcast. Also is on Facebook at facebook.com/ thank you
Man,
for being a podcast.
You guys get around.
We're
going to have a little talk.
We like publish ourselves like a lot. Thank you guys for listening and have a beautiful rest of your Wednesday and go to Hidden House if you're not doing anything. Bye-bye.
Yes, too.
Bye.
Bye. Yay.
Gonna stuff a chicken. Gonna stuff the chicken. Like my mama taught me. Like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken.